He will do a new thing is what we're looking at and what we're studying to witness the remarkable or something extraordinary. Tonight we're going to Genesis chapter 28 to start. So turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 28. If you need a Bible, I'll get you one. Does anybody need a Bible? Hallelujah. In our text tonight, he says this. He says, "And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Amen. So first, as we're looking at this tonight, we're going to look at, first, he says, "And behold, I am with thee." I am with thee. Behold, witness something remarkable or something extraordinary. He says that I am with thee, okay? Which speaks of his divine presence, okay? It's kind of interesting with the children of Israel that he went before them and with them and behind them. But with you and I as the children of God, he is in us. I don't think you can get any closer than that, can you? I don't know how you, it would be impossible for God to get any closer to us than he already is. Because he's inside of us. You know, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal body by the spirit that dwells in you. So as we look at this, we see, hey, say we have his divine presence. And we're going to look at first, his divine presence brings us rest. Brings us rest. Look with me in Exodus 33. Verse number 13. The word of God says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, shew me thou thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Amen. There's something about resting in his presence. You know, the resting in the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding that guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Not only does he give us rest, but also his presence brings us courage. Amen. Boldness. And Deuteronomy chapter 20. Verse number 1, the word of God says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." See, he says, be bold. Amen. You know, he says that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's as close as the call of his name. Amen. So as he wants us to, sort of like we kind of did in our group meeting, or our team meeting this year, to boldly go where no man's gone before. Amen? God takes us to new levels. And the only problem with new levels is new devils. Amen? And you ain't going to go to a new level without a new devil. Amen? And if you're faced with adversity, it means probably you're headed in the right direction. Amen. Because if you're not facing any adversity, then the devil isn't bothered with you. But when you're headed in the right direction, the adversary wants to put out a stumbling block in front of you to try to trip you up. Amen. God says, hey, if God be for you, who can stand against you? Amen. So he not only says that, he gives us a blessed assurance. You know, I think about the assurance of God. He gives assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We're heirs of salvation. Amen. Do I know all the words? I don't have my blind sisters here tonight. But if you look at Matthew 28, Jesus' words, he said, "All power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach and observe all these things that I commanded thee, and lo, I am with thee, even unto the end of the world." Lo, I am with thee, even unto the end of the world. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, you are never alone. And other times, sometimes just because people aren't surrounding you or coming around you or something, sometimes the adversary wants you to feel that no one cares and you're all by yourself, and God says you are never alone. You are never alone because I'm always there. Amen? I don't know about you, but His divine presence means so much to me. Amen? I don't know what I would do without His presence. I don't know what I would do without His help. He's our very present help in time of trouble. Amen. So just as He says there, He says, behold, witness the remarkable or something extraordinary. He says, behold, I am with thee. Then He says, behold, I will keep thee. I will keep thee. This speaks about divine protection. Amen. That He's got your front, He's got your back, He's got your sides. Look with me in Psalms 121. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Psalms 121, the psalmist writes about the help from the Lord. He says in verse 1, he says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. To me, that says He never sleeps. Amen? Never sleeps. Look with me in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 7, He never neglects us. He never neglects us. I love this scripture, and I stand on this all the time because I'm always facing adversity. And I stand on this scripture on Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, not my peace, His peace. The peace of God that surmounts all my understanding. In other words, when I'm going through something, it doesn't make sense not to be excited about it. Because, you know, the devil wants us to get excited about things. And when we get excited about things, there's something that happens to our heart. Our heart starts going beating faster and stronger. And a lot of people bring sickness and disease on themselves. And God said, no matter what you're going through, trust me. And the peace of God that surmounts even your own understanding, I'm going to guard your hearts and minds through my Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, so if I look at that, he never neglects me. He's always there. He's the Prince of Peace, the morning star. Amen. The fairest of 10,000, you know. So no matter what it looks like or no matter what it seems like, that we can walk and be in comfort and peace no matter what storm comes our way. Amen. Amen. You know, if you even go to Galatians and you look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. Fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Those things are flowing inside of you. It's inside of you by the Spirit of God. Amen. In other words, sometimes we just got to let God arise and the enemy be scattered, but God has to arise in us. We're looking for Him to arise out there, and God says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. Let the God in you arise, and then the enemy be scattered. Amen. Power of life and death are in the power of your tongue. You have the power to speak life or death. It's your choice. We have the power to take the adversary's weapons from him or give him weapons. And hello? So we're not fighting a natural battle. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down every stronghold, casting down every imagination that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen? We have to remind ourselves, who's in control? He is. So no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, He's got it. Amen. Look at me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Am I too loud? That's me. Could it be quieter? No, don't know how. Hallelujah. Behold. He says behold, not be old. Okay, John? Just teasing, Johnny. Verse number 3, but the Lord is faithful. He speaks here, that he never departs. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Hello? God is faithful. Look at the one next to you and say, God is faithful. God is faithful. He shall establish you and keep you from evil.
Okay.
Amen? 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 Remember, he's guarding our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? So we have his behold, witness the remarkable or the extraordinary. Then he says, behold, I'm going to say behold before this again. The third thing is, I will bring thee. What you think? Huh? That's what I say. That's my little preacher man. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 8. What are we looking at? We're looking at the Word of God, okay?
That's right.
Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by His Word. Amen? His divine promises, they are absolute. 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 1 Kings 8:56 says this, blessed be the Lord that have given rest unto His people Israel according to all that He had promised. There have not failed one word of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. In other words, he says here that he is absolute. His promises are all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. If God said it, it had to come to pass because he's God and he spoke it into existence when he spoke it.
Yes,
amen. So when God speaks something, it's impossible for it not to happen because he's God.
Amen.
Amen. And the only one that can make it impossible is us. Because we try to reason with our own human understanding. And what God wants us to do is he wants us to have spiritual understanding. And the spiritual understanding will overtake our human understanding.
That's right. That's right.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you and I. Amen? So what he's saying is, hey, there's divine promises that he gives you and I in his word. They're absolute. Look at me in Romans chapter 4. Verse 20 speaks of his ability. He staggered not into the promise of God, speaking of Abraham, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that he also was able to perform. What he has promised. See, he was on the ability of God. That's why the Apostle Paul can say, well, I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature is able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. That's what we get inside of us. Amen? Everything that we overcome the adversary is with the Word of God. The adversary doesn't even know my words. My words don't bother him a bit. But when I speak the word of God, he has to bow to the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That there's some bowing that takes place. That's why he wants us to learn this word. Because there's authority and a power, because what I'm doing is I'm speaking it as a vessel of God. My daddy used to always say, son, stop playing in church. I haven't grown up yet, okay? My wife keeps on saying, maybe next year. But next week we'll celebrate 41 years together. Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. What a blessing she's been to me. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Y'all with me? Amen. Everybody with me? This speaks about some accountability. The Word of God says in 2 Peter 1:4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godly brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It speaks about the accountability. Amen. That's why he says for us to study the word, to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. That's what we're here for. What are we doing here tonight? We're studying the word of God. We're studying to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that we're able to rightly divide the word of truth. So when the adversary comes and speaks a lie to you and it doesn't align with the word of God, you know God's not in it and you can take authority over it. Amen?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
That's why it's so important for us to get this word in us. That's why we're here, because there's so much power that's available to us. And the church has missed it a great much, because this sits on the shelf till Sunday, and then they wait for somebody to teach them or preach to them. And the book that has all they need is just sitting in the corner. Hello? Amen? The Word of God declares to you and I that no weapon formed against any of us shall prosper. Amen? It never did say in His Word that weapons wouldn't be formed. It said they wouldn't prosper. They will come. The next statement He says in our text today, He says, behold, witness the remarkable, the extraordinary, I will not leave thee. This speaks of His divine providence. Providence is the protective care of God. Amen? That He protects us. So look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 7. It's endless. Verse number 9, Deuteronomy 7, 9, says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. That's to 40,000 years. A generation is 40 years. In other words, God says He keeps His covenant. What's a covenant? A covenant is an agreement between two parties. It's a binding agreement. We do our part, He does His part. It involves all of us. Most of the time, we're waiting for Him to do His part, but we're not willing to do our part. And God says, I'm in covenant with you. I have a contract with you through the blood of my Son that I'll do everything that I said, that you belong to me. I have called you by name. I have set you apart for myself. I place my spirit within you. I declare you as mine. In other words, God wants you and I to understand how special and how we are to the Father. That you're a jewel to Him. That you're precious. And there isn't anyone any more precious than you are. Amen? The Bible says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That we should show forth the praises of Him that called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Who at one time were not a people, but now we're the people of God. Who at one time had not obtained mercy, but praise God, now we've obtained mercy. Amen. 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 And God wants us to recognize the divine providence that we have. So look with me in Psalms 89. Am I going too fast? That's the way I go. The covenant, God's covenant with David. Amen. 89:1. The psalmist writes, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall establish the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm in covenant. I'm in covenant with God. And all the promises of God are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And that speaks to me. This speaks of His faithfulness. He is faithful. He is faithful. Look at me in Hebrews chapter 6. His covenant is flawless. In other words, in Hebrews 6:18, the Word of God says, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. In other words, I said it before, it's impossible for God to lie. God says it, it becomes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
When God created the universe, He spoke it into existence, it became. You know, and Jesus, He was spoken into existence, born of the Spirit, born of the woman. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Amen. The only begotten of God. So to me, it's flawless. But to me, it says this. It's perpetual. And what perpetual means, never ending or changing. Amen? This is the one thing that we can stand hold of that will not change. Times and seasons around us have changed, but His Word remains the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I am God, I change not. So this is the only steady thing that we have. Amen. And since this is the only steady thing we have, the adversary wants to make it difficult for us to get into. So he fills our time with all these other things. And what the Lord says is, He says, if you will choose me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Amen? Amen? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him, and He's going to give you direction. Amen? I don't know about you, but I need direction every day. I need direction every day. And usually when I seek direction, I never end up doing what I thought I would do. Because I had a plan, but God had a different plan.
Come on. That's right.
But His plans is like this. He says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not for good and not for evil. Plans to give us a hope and an expected end. Amen. I think we're living in one of the most glorious times in the kingdom of God. Look at the trucks that came to church tonight. Hallelujah. Vehicles for God's glory. Hallelujah. So can we all stand? Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands to heaven? Father, I thank you for your servants that are here tonight, Father God. I thank you for the call of God that's on each and every one of their lives, Father God. Father, I pray, Father God, that you blow upon the word that was spoken tonight, Father God. May you give them revelation in some area in their life, Father God. May you minister to every heart and every life. May there not be one of us that leave this house tonight in the same manner that we came. May we be refreshed. May we be renewed. May the fire be rekindled in our hearts and lives. Father God, we thank you, Father God, that you called each and every one of us by name. Your word declares that the very hairs on our head are numbered. You know our goings and our comings, Father God. You established us for such a time as now, Father God. So I say to this body tonight, Father God, I speak life and the abundance to each and every soul in the room. I pray for God to arise in their lives and the enemy be scattered in Jesus' name. I declare that the enemy's behind them. They have no place in front of them. They're the bought, the redeemed of Jesus. So, Father, we celebrate you and give you praise tonight for victory. Can we give him a shout of victory in the house tonight?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we ask you to bless the food and the fellowship we're having together and the new preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.